Yes, my microphone is turned on this week, Danny.
Good. I was testing mine. I feel like our groove has definitely been thrown off.
I'm tired still. I looked at myself in the mirror. I think it was this morning. No, it was yesterday night. And I was like, what happened to my face? I've got like these dark circles under my eyes. And I'm just tired all the time, though I've had like full night's sleep now.
I made that realization as well. And like the little crease that forms under your eye that makes the bag under your eyes, like it was just very accentuated this past week. And I didn't recognize myself in the mirror at first.
No. Welcome to sleep deprivation.
Yeah, this has been a bit. I mean, it's not like super hard or terrible in any way. It's just tiring, and that's the state of life that we're in.
And it's good. It's luckily, like, the way they have it laid out works well, because you only have like a few days on and then you're off again, and then you're back on for a few days, so it's okay. But even still, yeah. It's just, you just come. And but to be fair, I think even when I'm not on cottage duty, I am tired. So
yeah,
I can't blame it all on
feeling
that.
Feeling the exhaustion as of late. But we had an Emperor's New Groove meme feel, because we were like, it's thrown off my groove. You're throwing off my groove, man.
That, and I was also thinking of like when she looks in the mirror and she's like, how long has that been there? Or when he looks at her, that's what it is. Yeah. That's how I felt when I looked in the mirror. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, a lot's happened in the past. Oh, it's been what? Really, since we've had an episode out, it's been what, like two weeks?
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah, a lot's happened. I got sick. I'm still kind of sick. I'm better. Fun fact no one needs to know. So if I'm coughing throughout this episode, apologies. But yeah, we're talking about cottage duty this time, right?
Yeah.
Yep, cottage duty. I don't have anything else for a preamble, so I guess we should just...
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, roll an intro. Hey guys, and welcome back to Scrubbed In. My name is Mo.
And I'm Danny.
And we are final year vet students at the Royal Dick School of Veterinary Studies.
Whoop, whoop.
Thank you.
I was waiting to see if you were going to say anything else.
No, and I was waiting to see if you were going to do that. Cool. So it was just like perpetual waiting. So it's been a couple weeks since we've chatted with you guys. There's been an episode of That Vet Life that kicked out, and I received really good feedback on that one. Talking with Dr. Alexander Pop and Dr. Sarah Brisson about the transition from vet student into real life. And then life got away from me and
I
didn't get an episode out.
I said, I just love that we call it real life. It's like what we're living isn't real life.
Real life.
You know, it's like we pretend like we're not in real life at the moment. It's just that after we graduate, we'll then be real life.
Yeah,
but
it's like an alternate reality.
It's just
or something.
So funny that we're always like, there's vet school and then there's real life.
Well, vet school is a bubble in a way. And yeah.
I just find it funny.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's like a microcosm bubble thing. Anyway. But yeah, so it's been a couple weeks. We finished our small animal rotations and we moved into our equine rotations. And smack in the
beginning.
We've been
there for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, we've done that for 2 weeks, and we have two more to go. But smack in the beginning of our first week, Danny and I were scheduled for cottage duty. And I put a little post out about cottage duty, and I was like, oh, does anybody have anything similar in their university? And a good number of people said yes. There's some people that don't have this kind of out-of-hours rota.
I had lots of people... Like, I was just like, oh, I'm on cottage duty this week. And everybody's like, do you just, like, watch a cottage? They're like, what are you doing? Why is it called that? And I was like, oh, I guess I shouldn't, like, use that term in front of everybody that doesn't know what it is.
We're the only, I don't think there's any other school. Like, they probably have their own little name for what they
call probably.
It.
Yeah, probably. It's just basically ICU. You're
but
just
not
on
ICU,
night duty.
It's out of hours.
Yeah.
Out of hours duty.
That works better.
Yeah, because, like, we only had at the start, we had a couple patients in ICU, and by the time we finished, we didn't have as many patients in ICU. But we're doing more than just ICU cover for the equine hospital. But yeah, and then I had a couple people like reach out being like, what's cottage duty? Do you want to like talk a little bit more about that? And I was like, okay, sure. So I have a couple questions from people about cottage duty, but before I get to those, we'll probably just chat about cottage duty.
Sure. Basically, bear with me. Horses in we have horses in the hospital, and even throughout the day, we usually have 4-hourly checks. So every 4 hours, they need something, even if it's just to look at them over the door and see that they're still okay alive and haven't been like rolling around or colicking of any sort or having any type of issue. So even if it's just looking them over the door, we have to look at every horse every 4 hours. And that continues all throughout the night. And so, of course, you know, us as lovely students, we get to go and check them throughout the night as well. And we all take turns. So usually in groups of like 6 or 7, and you stay in a little cottage, which is why it's called cottage duty, that's on the premises. So it's right next to the hospital. You stay in the cottage, you sleep there, and then you just like split the shifts. Depending on how many horses you have, you just split the shifts between all of you. So there's a check at like midnight, there's one at 4 a.m., and then you've got 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., yeah, and then 12. Yeah, so you're just,
and then the emergencies. Yeah.
So usually two of you are on each check. So you do get a decent amount of sleep. I mean, you still have to wake up, but you get a decent amount of sleep. So two of you wake up for 12 o'clock, two of you wake up for 4 o'clock, and two of you are usually on call for emergencies if something comes in. And if nothing comes in, you get to sleep.
Get a full night. Well, you don't really get a full night of sleep because everyone is always like, you just wake up randomly because you hear other people leaving or coming and going. Excuse me. For their checks. And then you're like checking your phone because you're like, I don't want to miss an emergency. So you don't really get a full night of sleep, but you get a full night of sleep, if you will.
Yeah, you don't have to actually get out of bed, I guess. But yeah, so you've got that, and then, you know, two people wake up at 12 and two wake up at 4. So even still, like, you get at least 4 to 5 hours of sleep, depending on how many horses you have and how long the checks take. They roughly take about, I mean, they took us, what, like an hour and 15
yeah,
minutes,
well,
or so?
It can take you anywhere from a half an hour, depending on how many over-the-door checks you have, up to like an hour, hour and a half. It depends on how many
patients
you have.
Yeah, sometimes
you
get really unlucky and you've got loads of horses and some of them need stuff.
Or you go out and you're like, ah, you are colicking. Great. Let's deal with this.
Yeah, because like one time when I did cottage duty, we had a horse that needed every 2-hour checks. And so we then had to get up every 2 hours to check the horse. So it can change, but usually it's every 4 hours. It does depend on the patient and the amount of horses that are in, though. If you have loads of horses, sometimes it takes you 2 hours. Sometimes it takes you 3 hours, especially if they all need medications and things. Whereas if you have lots of horses, but you all just have to look at them over the door, that's pretty quick. So,
yeah, and like we have our rule at our university that you're not allowed to go into a stall or do anything with a horse on your own. So you're always buddied up with someone, for safety for the patient, safety for you, and liability for the school, you know. So you always have someone else to do things with. So you're not like the only one wandering around at 4 a.m. checking all these horses. You have someone else to double check what you're doing as well.
Which happens.
Yeah.
And you look at somebody in the middle of the night and you're like, right, I've just counted this many heartbeats in this much time. Help me do the mental math at 4 a.m.
Yeah, at 4 a.m.
I can't do it.
It is really helpful. And then it's not just the students. You always have an intern who is doing the checks with you, either like... Basically, they're doing checks with you or somewhere else in the hospital, or a resident who's always a phone call away if anything should ever happen. So you're never just left alone to do anything. There's always a chain of command and a protocol put in place to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, even if the interns, because some of the interns don't come out for every single check through the night, but they are only like a 10-minute walk away, and all you have to do is call and wake them up, and they'll come if something happens. So it depends on the intern. Some of them will come out for every check and some of them come out for just a couple checks. And then they're like, call me if you need something. Mm-hmm. The residents, you just call them if you need them, but you always call the intern first. But yeah, so we have people and it's not like it's just us, but they do depend on us quite a lot, as students to help with the caseload and with the horses. Cause I don't think they'd be able to see as many things and do as much as they do without the students in the hospital.
Yeah, and they're relying on us to be like, if something happens or we notice something at the 4 a.m. check, to send them a text or give them a call to say, hey, this horse looks a little off. Can can you come look at it, rather than us just writing down the parameters and then them finding out at 8 a.m. that, oh, yeah, this horse has been colicking for the last, like, 6 hours or something. So, yeah, they rely on us quite heavily, and I think that can be quite intimidating, depending on your level of horse knowledge or horse experience going into it, because our school is actually pretty good at making sure that students have worked with horses before they enter final year. Granted, we have like animal husbandry level experience that we have to gain in our first year, and it's like 2 years working on a livery yard or something. And then as you go through the course, you make sure that you're doing more handling experience and doing clinical exams on horses, and obviously horse medicine is part of it, but making sure that they are comfortable handling horses is a big part of the course, so that when you hit final year and they're like, all right, it's just you and this one other student that are going to be sent out to check all these horses, and they want to make sure that you're all comfortable doing what you need to do. But even then, like when you're thrown on your equine rotation, it puts you like front and center of having to do a lot of stuff with different horses. And it's really important to kind of step back and like take a checklist of yourself to be like, okay, what am I comfortable doing? What am I not comfortable doing? Where do I want to improve my skill and my knowledge? Who can I ask to help me to do that? So even if it's something like, I'm not comfortable just walking around a horse or putting a head collar on, or how do I flush a catheter or something, just making sure that you step back and say, hey, I'm not comfortable doing that. Can you help me? And the reality is, like, I have not met a clinician or an intern or a resident in our hospital who is not willing to, like, just step out and help in those moments. I haven't met anybody, so.
Yeah, I think it's really good on our students as well, because even on cottage duty or in our groups, we all try to figure out who has like the most experience with horses, and we try and pair up the people who don't have as much experience with those that do have the most experience, especially on cottage duty. Like, we'll try and be like, oh, you have experience with horses, go with this person who only has a small amount. That way they can help teach that person, and you don't have two people out there who have hardly any experience with horses together in the middle of the night. And I think it's just a way that helps all the students feel more comfortable. Like, those who don't have as much experience at least know that they can ask their colleague that's out there with them before they have to call an intern. Not that it's wrong to call the intern, but I just think our students are also really good at arranging ourselves in a way to help everybody have the most comfort level and learn in a way that's less stressful. Because I think it's way easier to like ask your colleagues questions than it is to sometimes go up to an intern or a resident or a professor and say, I don't understand this, or I know this is like a really simple thing or something easy, but I just don't get it. Whereas if you just wanted to ask one of your classmates who maybe has a bit more horse experience, and they're like, oh yeah, sure, like, let me show you. Even just the other day, like, putting a chifney on, somebody's like, I'm not really sure how to do it, and I'm like, oh well, like, I don't use them very often, but I at least know how they work, let me just show you how I put it in. And like, this is where it's supposed to go. And they're like, oh, that was super helpful, thanks. Now I didn't have to go grab somebody else, you know? Yeah. It just makes it easy.
Be a good Top Gun.
Yeah, our Top Gun analogy.
Top Gun reference. Which, for people who don't know, like, in our first year of vet school. Oh, my word, I keep coughing.
I was dying.
I'm dying slowly. No, actually, I'm doing okay over here. In our first year of vet school, we get one of our lecturers. It's actually when we're going to do our equine handling courses. He's like, make sure you guys are good Top Guns to each other, which, if you don't know the movie Top Gun, highly recommend.
Which I've never seen.
Oh, we
so
need
when
to
he
watch
like
this.
Talked about it, I was
oh.
like, oh.
Oh.
All right then. Oh, and gosh. I think he gave us that assignment in first year, and I still haven't ever seen
okay,
it.
Okay, so we need to watch Top Gun. And it basically goes back to the reference of just always looking out for each other, and not being a self-centered human being is the core
yeah,
of it.
Basically, that's
it's the
it.
Core of it. Yeah, to look around and, like, if from the level of, say, like, you're working with a horse and you think your colleague is potentially doing something, maybe sticking their head in a maybe dangerous location, that you tell them, say, hey, I think you maybe want to do this another way, or just generally looking out for them, being like, do you need help with that? asking for help, yeah, just looking out for each other. Yeah.
And so that's everybody, you know, letting me use their equipment this week because I don't have a thermometer. And so I just literally walk up to everybody being like, can I borrow that for 2 minutes? So it's things like that, too, that I'm like, I'm not prepared. Can I have that, please?
Mm-hmm. But that's one thing that I really do like about our university is, of course, like I've never not really been at other vet schools, but like we have a really, really Top Gun-ish environment here where people are usually really good about looking out for each other and looking for ways to help each other.
Well, and they're always trying to foster, like, there's a lot of opportunities for us as well to do peer teaching, and so we can go and help with classes and teach younger years, or again, they pair us up in ways where we have to teach each other, even just like on rotations. Last week we have a one of the clinicians is doing a PhD study, and so she does like a couple of things where the first one she doesn't tell you anything, and then the second one she takes one person aside and like teaches them some different stuff so that she can compare the difference between the two. And so like she took me aside and taught me all of this stuff, and then when we came back and she's like, right, now that you've all done everything, I'm gonna show all of you. And then she looks at me and she's like, actually, you're gonna show everybody because I taught you. So she's like, the rule is like, you see one, you do one, you teach one. And so that's kind of what they try and do here, is they try and make us, like, we watch it a few times, and then they make us do it, and then it just solidifies it to help teach it to someone. And so peer teaching is a really big thing here.
Yeah, because we actually then have groups where the underclassmen come to, like, the equine hospital, or we do it in, like, the clinical skills lab, where they come and then like the final years actually teach them different things, or they give them the opportunity to practice doing physical exams on some of the teaching horses. But they leave it to us as final years to teach these students this information. Granted, they do also have like another similar practical that's set with a clinician, but it gives them the chance, gives the underclassmen the chance to ask other students questions, which maybe they're a little intimidated to ask a clinician or something. So we also have those kind of peer assisted learning, if you will, within other areas of the vet school. But it is something that they really work hard to foster within our vet school, and I really do appreciate that. But it again, it all flows back to like working on cottage duty and really having to just rely on your classmates for information, for skill.
Or even just to, like, have a backup. You're like, this is what I think is going on. Or you can look at the horse and say, oh, it looks like he might be colicking. What do you think? And they'll be like, no, I don't think that. Or, yeah, I agree with you. And just sometimes you just need the assurance that somebody agrees with you before you have to call somebody and say, I think this is what's going on. We both agree on it. So it's not just me that's, like, deciding that this thing is happening, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It's a really good environment, and I really do enjoy that about our vet school. But going back to cottage duty, so yeah, we talked about how we have different checks that happen throughout the night. And yeah, sometimes like the amount of trust that the interns have in the students, like obviously they've taught us this information and this skill on how to do things and how to work with horses. So they really are trusting us to be able to go through the hospital at night on our own, give certain treatments to different horses. Granted, there's ones that like a licensed veterinarian has to be present for or has to physically give themselves, in which case they do come and they give the treatment to the horse and then they go away again. But there's a lot of trust that's put in the students, which is good for our confidence building, because if you think about it, in a couple months, we'll just be left to go do things.
We will be
making the decisions on certain things. And so this is a way for them to kind of let that leash out a little bit longer to say, all right, you got to make a decision on like how to work around this horse, or whether or not it needs, like sometimes it's a flamazine cream or something. You're like on a wound and it's like apply as needed. Something as simple as that is what we're trusted with, to be like, oh, does this horse need this extra little bit? Does it not? So it's really nice to kind of have that, which the first time I did cottage duty, I forget what year I was in. Because sometimes an underclassman can fill in for a final year if
yeah, they final need to. Years are like, I can't cover this night. Will yeah. somebody please do me a favor yeah. and take it away from me?
So when I was in a couple years ago, or yeah, something like that, and I remember covering for Cottage Duty, I had absolutely no idea how it worked, what the schedule was like. I didn't know the final years that I was working with. I was pretty nervous, I would say, just because I didn't know how the process worked. But after like the first or second night, I was like, you know what? I can do this. This isn't too bad. And I was able to cover someone else's shift later on in the year. And so coming to Cottage Duty now as a final year, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on like what needs to happen. And my confidence is so much higher just from having those different opportunities to try things. And to have final years who looked at me and said, okay, this tiny little like second year, third year, like... she doesn't really know what she's doing, but we're willing to teach her. So that was just also really cool to have upperclassmen who didn't just shrug me off as extra labor, but actually took the time to teach me things.
I mean, I think this is true with most of us. I'm sure there's a couple of people who probably don't agree, but most of us, like, we all remember being there, and we all remember what it was like to be there, and, like, we didn't know, and all we wanted was somebody to just take a few minutes and just teach us, or to just be patient and say, well, you screwed that up, but let me just show you why, or like, you did it, and that's fine, but actually, it would be better if you did it this way, and they just take the time to kind of teach you a little bit, and they're just really patient, and even in the middle of the night, it's really nice. So I think the fact that we have been there, and we, because I think clinicians, I mean, they obviously were there at some point, too, but it's been a while, and sometimes you forget just what it's like, whereas we were just, it was 2 years ago, which, to be fair, seems really long ago.
So like, long, but so
I don't
short.
Fully remember, like, what it was like, because I'm just, like, so focused in on final year that I don't think about, like, I had somebody come up to me the other day and, like, oh, like, what time do we have these exams? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I don't remember what time of the year that was at. I just know that it happened at some point. But you still, like, remember being in their position and remember what it felt like to not really know and to just walk into stuff and be like, please be patient with me, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying to help somebody out by covering their shift, so let's do
be
it.
Be patient with me.
Yeah.
Be patient. No, it's, again, it goes back to being a good Top Gun and just the kind of environment that we try to foster here in the vet school. But I have a couple questions here that people had sent in. We kind of covered some of them, but I guess we can go a little bit more in depth.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
But the first one is, like, they wanted to learn more about, what is this cottage that you stay in? Cottage, I don't have the rest of the question. But it's just, like, a British, very British thing to be like,
yeah.
Oh, cottage.
Well, yeah, it is a very British thing. They have just cottages here. They're usually stone buildings. Mm. They're small. They usually have a couple of rooms in them. This one has 6 beds in it, but they've, like, shoved the beds in because that's what we need to stay in. But, yeah, cottage is just a really common thing here. It's what people call their houses, and mm-hmm. so that's why it's Cottage Duty, because it's a cute little stone building that we stay in that's on the premises.
And it has everything that we need. I mean, it has a place to sleep. It has a place to eat. Pretty much all you need. I mean, we're actually pretty lucky. I mean, they could have shoved us into porta cabins.
That's true. Or we could have to, like, commute out and stuff throughout the night, which we don't have to, which is really good, because for those of us who don't have cars and things, it makes it a bit difficult. But yeah, so we just stay in this little, it's basically like a little, I'm trying to think of what it would be called. I've been away from America so long now, I just
it's
can't
just
even.
It's like a, it's literally like a 4-bedroom house.
Yeah.
But about the size-wise.
I mean, it's small.
It's very small.
I just can't think of the word that I would use. It's like a little cabin.
Yeah, I guess it'd be, it's cabin
except
size.
It's, yeah,
but
it's like made out
bigger.
Of stone.
Yeah, it's a stone cabin.
So, I've been here too long. But yeah, so that's why it's called cottage. And basically, I think I did tours yesterday with some of the students who are looking to come here. And I was explaining it to them. And I said, I think basically we call equine cottage and we call small animal ICU, because if we called them both ICU, we would get confused. So we just call it, like, ICU duty and cottage duty so that we can keep track of the both of them.
Well, the reality is when we do small animal, it really is just ICU that we're handling. Think about
it. Well, it's true. But, like, essentially most of the stuff on Cottage, I mean, you have other horses that aren't in ICU, but most of the time it's your ICU patients that you're looking after the most. So I know it's not only ICU, but it basically is. You're taking care of like ICU patients.
Yeah, overnight. I mean, sometimes, but of course, some of those over the night checks are literally over the door and you're like, hi, horse, you're doing good. Cool. Awesome. Keep eating hay. Good job.
Those are my favorite. And to be fair, we had a pretty good cottage. It wasn't super busy, but it wasn't really slow. So, I mean, I know this weekend, the people who are on just now don't have very many horses in, so they don't have as much to do. Whereas we had quite a few that we had.
Fair number.
Yeah, like
bandage changes.
It wasn't too much. We still got, you know, breaks in between all of our checks and things, but we at least had stuff to do. But we didn't have so much that it took you ages during the night and you were up for hours and hours.
Mm-hmm. The next question is, how long are you usually in the hospital for, and what is the caseload like? So I think that it's a question that kind of covers a little bit of equine rotation. And because we've only talked about cottage. We haven't talked about the fact that we've been on equine rotation. So this is a good opportunity for that. So we have in our core rotations, we have 4 weeks that are devoted to being in the equine hospital. 3 of them are like actually in the hospital. And then 1 week is set for the ambulatory practice. That's a part of it. So, like, for me, my very first week was driving around the countryside, doing vaccinations, dentals, lameness exams, blah, 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 castrations, you name it, on the ambulatory side of the practice, which I absolutely love. I freaking love ambulatory practice. Can't say it enough. And then my next week, well, this past week, was on equine medicine. So it was working with the diarrhea and the urinary problems that horses come in, you know, quite often. And then Danny had...
So I started in soft tissue surgery. See, I did both the surgeries basically this week. But so I was in soft tissue surgery where you do a lot of dental work and like lump removals and things like that. If wounds come in, then you'll fix those as well. We didn't really see any of those. But yeah, a lot of lumps and bumps. So like melanomas and sarcoids and things like that. And then dental. And then the next week I was on orthopedics. So a lot of lamenesses that come in that you're watching them trot back and forth and putting them on a lunge line and seeing where they're lame and then blocking certain like nerves and joints and then checking them again to see if that's made a difference. They do also do quite a bit of surgery as well on orthopedics with like joints and stuff like that. So we got to see a couple of surgeries. It was really good.
And then for these next 2 weeks, we'll swap places and I'll do soft tissue and ortho and Danny will do medicine and general practice. But the caseload wise, when you're on general practice, you don't really have cases because it's like you're just going out to their farm and coming back. You don't see them any other day. Whereas when you're on medicine, soft tissue, and ortho, you'll have anywhere from like, you're going to have anywhere from like 1 to 3 cases in the course of a week spread amongst your group, which there's usually like 6 or 7 of you. And you're responsible for doing their TPR and soap in the morning. And then presenting them at morning and afternoon rounds, dealing with any medications or catheter flushes that they need throughout the day for their different checks. And in general, just like following along with their procedure or whatever's happening with them over the course of the week.
Yeah, I think, I know medicine and ortho are probably the ones that have the most cases in the hospital. Soft tissue... Typically, I mean, depending on what they've come in for surgery wise, but typically they come in and they try and send them back away the same day. So a lot of the dental stuff, they'll bring them in, take care of it, send them away, depending on how extensive like their lump removals are and stuff. And if they have to go under GA, sometimes they'll stay for a couple days, but it does depend on where it's located. And usually, again, they try and send them away as quickly as possible. And it depends on the clinician as well, but they like to just bring them and send them away. And so my whole week on soft tissue, like, we didn't have any cases that stayed in the hospital. So we saw stuff, but it came and went. Like, we never had anything that we had to present at rounds, because we have rounds twice a day where everybody comes together and we go through every single horse in the hospital so that everybody is on the same page. Even if you're not on ortho, you kind of have an idea of what ortho's cases are for the day. or what they have in the hospital, which is good for those who are on cottage as well, because then you know what your horses have had during the day and what they need overnight. And it just kind of helps to bring everybody to the same page. But yeah, we had no cases that we had to present at rounds on soft tissue. And they said that's pretty standard. This week they had a couple, but that's because they went under GA. And the areas that they had surgery were ones that we wanted to watch for a while. Whereas they said if it was like somewhere else and it was a lump removal, they would have just sent it home. So I think it just depends. And then ortho has, I mean, we've had so many patients in for ortho.
Yeah, ortho's had crazy number of patients this past week. But
we were so happy on Friday because we sent like 4 patients home and we just thought that was amazing. We were so proud of ourselves.
I know that is always a big excitement when they're like, and who are we sending home today? And they're like, this horse is going home and this horse is going home.
And those of you on cottage for the night are like, thank you. Please send them all.
I know. And it's by the end of the day, it was like the hospital feels really empty. And it was like, this is really nice if you're on cottage because you don't have too many patients to worry about overnight. but like for me on medicine this past week, I had the same patient the entire week. So by the end of, which that patient had already been in for a while. And so everybody at morning and afternoon rounds knew his signalment, his history, and what was going on pretty much as well as I did. And so I was just trying to get through it as fast as I could because everybody already was up to date on what it was. I just had to like say it so that it was said more than anything. But there was one day where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it to rounds. And everyone's like, it's all right. We already know who he is and what's wrong with him. So... But yeah.
Yeah, and it's like we had one of our classmates is really funny. You like presented yours and we moved to the next horse and she just started like repeating what you said.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
She was like, and this is this horse, and everybody's like, didn't we already hear this? And she literally just repeated what you said for like 30 seconds until somebody's like, I thought this was this horse, and she's like, Oh my gosh, it is. Let me start over. I'm really sorry. And we all just laughed at it. It was quite funny.
Well, what's funny is like, despite how long the history is for the horse that I had, I was able to shorten it to the point where I could say everything in pretty much one breath. What is that? It's a Jim Carrey movie or something.
I'm unhelpful.
Where he's able to say everything in one big long breath. And that's what I kind of felt like when I was presenting my case.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I had one as well, but it was way longer and I could not say it in one breath.
No, you did have
but
a very
also
extensive.
Because
there were a lot of medications on
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, he was on quite a few things as well, so you had to, like, go through. Because what you have to do at rounds is you present their signalement, like, when they presented, why they presented, what treatments we've done, and then what medications they're on, and then their TPR for the morning or the afternoon. So, like, the last one that we took so that we can monitor that. And then... depending on, I mean, I was also able to shorten mine and be like, right, this is this, and I know that you all know him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's like the bare minimum that you need to know.
Here's Bob. He's a Welsh cob gelding, like presented on the 30th for right fore left hind lameness. We did a blah, blah, blah workup, and this is what he had, and this is the medications he's on, and this is the day he's planning on going home.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, these are the plans for overnight, or these are the plans for the day, or whatever. My favorite was on Friday, though, when we walked past and everybody stopped. And I was like, we don't have to stop here because he's
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, we all just, like, looked around and were like, he's gone. The horse is gone.
Yeah, like, we sent him home.
It was really exciting that he finally went home.
So
it was good to see him go
yeah.
home.
It's nice, though, because you just see them get better and you want to send them home because they reach a point where you can tell that they feel really good.
Because they're biting and kicking you?
Yeah, yeah, well, things like
that.
Your patient
you know,
the was. Horses do. but you can just tell that they feel so much better and, like, as far as like orthopedic stuff, you can tell that they're walking so much better and that they feel so much better than when they came in. And it makes you feel good because you did something to help them. And then you just want to get them out of the hospital. You just want to be able to send them back home to where you know that they're going to be like happier and where they're used to. Even if they've spent like 2 or 3 weeks in the hospital, it's still like you know that they're going to be more comfortable at home because it's where they've always
yeah,
been.
You want to get them home as soon as you can. Yeah, so that's what caseload looks like. And then that transfers over into cottage duty where you're basically, you're there for afternoon rounds and you're hearing what all the patients need overnight and someone's taking notes. So there's like a big master plan of what needs to be done at every check. So nothing gets missed and each case has their own hospital sheet that you check and you're checking things off as you do them. And because you work in a buddy, hopefully nothing gets missed. But it's a fair amount of responsibility, and I'm
yeah, I and really like, enjoy so it. So you're there during the day, and then you're there overnight, and then you're there again the next day.
Yeah. So if you have the weekend cottage duty shift, which is usually like a Thursday into the following Monday morning, you're like, my week never ended. I've just had one extremely continuous week, and you lose track of your days and your hours, and that's why you get extremely exhausted.
Yeah, and anytime you're not in the hospital doing checks, you're in the cottage sleeping because you're just tired. Yeah. Or you're laying down. Like, even if you're not sleeping, you just lay there and you're like, I just want to do nothing right now. So, but it is really good. It's a really good experience. And they split, so you have to do an entire week of cottage, but they split it into two shifts. So you do a Thursday to Monday morning.
You do a four-night shift and then a three-night shift.
But you have a week of a break in between. So you do like half a week and then a week off and then another half a week.
Doesn't feel like a break, but you know.
But it is. It is. So.
Yeah, I mean, I really can't complain because it's like, oh my gosh, everything is so exhausting. But then you're like, this is real life.
Yeah, no, and it's good.
You're going to be doing in real life.
Having talked to the clinicians and stuff, it's really common that you get a job and they're like, you have the weekend and you're on from Thursday to like Thursday night and then Friday and Friday night and then Saturday all through the day and night, Sunday all through the day and night, and then you're expected to show up Monday morning and still work and do your job. And it's just how it is. And mm-hmm. then you have some time off, but usually you're doing anywhere from every 1 in 3 weeks to sometimes, depending on how many clinicians you have, sometimes you can get to like 1 in every 5. But it's common for you to do, so every third week you're on and you have to do morning and night and just cover anything that comes in.
Yeah, but it's funny. You have people being like, oh, it's so tiring and I can't believe they make us do this and then work the day, and you're just like, suck it up, buttercup. to put it not so lightly.
to be very, you know,
blunt.
Blunt about it. But I just think that it's a good experience because some people have never done it before, and it's a good way for you to realize if you really, like when you're searching out a job, if you need to really try and find a place that doesn't require you to do weekends. Because if you really can't handle it, then that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Figure it out now.
But it's good to figure it out when you're not expected to really, I don't want to say to do a lot, because we are expected to do a lot, but the full responsibility mm-hmm. is not on you. And you can realize that, hey, I don't deal well with sleep deprivation, or I don't do well in the middle of the night, or I don't do well being up all night and then having to be during the day. So I really maybe should try and find something that doesn't require me to do that, or I only have to cover like weekends so that I can sleep during the day or something. I think it's really good to experience it now and see how you yourself react to it and how well you handle it. Like, I know I do not do well with sleep deprivation, but basically what happens is I just get cranky and I get really cranky with everybody. And I'm a blunt person anyway, and then I'm even more blunt when I'm tired because everything, like my filter just goes away. Normally I'll like try and say things nicely, whereas when I'm tired, I'm just like, stop it, go away. So, but I've known that about myself because I realize how I get with sleep deprivation. That came because I've mm-hmm. practiced and I realize that's how I am. And I think I could do it if I had to, but it's not something I want to do.
Yeah.
So
it is. It's a, again, it's like vet school is a chance to try things out, test the waters, see what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Because once you hit real life, quote unquote,
real life,
like you won't have the safety net of university to kind of figure those things out. You'll just be launched into it, and it's better to know now than in your first 3 months of your first job.
Yeah, and it's a way to ease into it, so it's really good.
Yeah. I know some people, though, they're like, it's maybe a little bit more exhausting for them simply because they're just out of their depth of working with a different species.
Yeah, I do think that's true. I think when you're already maybe a bit worried or not as comfortable around horses, and then being on in the middle of the night and then having
that stress,
like being tired. Or I know some people get a bit stressed because they feel like they want to be on their best during the day so that they can answer questions and not, in their words, like look stupid, which are, it's fine if you get answers wrong and stuff, but some people just really want to show that they are interested and on it and being able to answer questions. And they just say it's really stressful when you're up all night and then you're trying to be on your best during the day.
And your brain just doesn't operate at the same speed.
So, but I mean, I think it's good because even when you're in practice and in real life, you're going to have, you know, owners and stuff asking you questions and in a sense quizzing you. It's not a real quiz, but quizzing you about stuff and asking you things, and you're going to have to be on it then as well. So it is a good way to ease you into stuff. But I think the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it as well.
Yeah, and I think after, because like before when I did cottage duty, I was doing cottage at night, and then I'd wake up and I'd go to lectures, and so like I'd be tired from the night before, but then just sitting in a lecture theater trying to stay awake is so much harder. It really is so much harder than having to wake up and go and do the 8 o'clock checks and then go to rounds and then be busy doing other things like actually working in the hospital. So before I was like, oh my god, when I was thinking about it, I was like, oh my gosh, by the time I graduate, I will have done so much cottage duty. But then realizing that cottage duty now is actually, quote unquote, easier than when it was when I was like in a second or third year, just because I'm waking up and I'm busy physically doing things rather than having to sit there in a lecture theater for 6 or 7 hours with my fifth cup of coffee going, I'm awake. I promise I'm awake. Stay awake.
Yeah, our clinicians are really good too. Like even when I was on cottage, they asked me a question. I was like, "Look, give me an extra minute. I'm tired. Hold on."
Yeah, and then
you
they're
just say that
us.
To him. You're like, "I'm just a little bit tired. Give me a minute. It'll come to me." And then you stand there and you're like, "Please come into my brain.
Please, please."
Or they're like, "Here, do this mental math," and I'm like, "No, I have to pull out my calculator right now."
Yeah.
And they're like, "That's an easy thing. You should be able to do 5 + 5." And I'm like, "Not today. I can't. Not today."
Nope, that's why we have calculators and paper and everything so that we can double check our work. Yep, it's good stuff.
So, yeah, you have any other questions from people?
Yeah, the last question here was, which we've kind of covered, but how responsible are you? That can go multiple ways.
I was like, how responsible are we for what?
I.e., how much supervision do you get? And honestly, like...
I'm a very responsible person. Thank you for asking.
We are very responsible human beings. No, but we actually get a fair amount of supervision, especially during the days, because like they'll be like, "Oh, go grab that horse," and then we'll go and do this procedure, or we'll go and do a bandage change, and it really kind of comes down to how much experience you have, how vocal you are about wanting to gain new experience, and how much the clinician, intern, resident is willing to let you do or is aware that you want to gain experience in. So there's a couple different things that play into it. But in general, they're usually really good about letting us trying things.
They are. And I think the more interest that you show, the more they'll let you do. But they do, you have to think about it. They do get into like this habit of just doing stuff as well. And they forget, just like anybody. So sometimes I have to say to them, be like, "Oh, hey, would you mind if I gave that sedation to this horse? Would that be all right?" And they'll say, "No, this horse is really nervous. I just need to pop it in really quick." And I'm like, "That's fair enough." But if it's a good horse, they're like, "Yeah." But they just forget. Like, they just are on autopilot and they've drawn up the drug and they're just going to go give it. So if you don't ask, then sometimes they don't give you the opportunity just because they're on an autopilot thing. And they're like, "Oh, you're holding the horse. Yeah, here. Like, I'll just do it." So you sometimes have to kind of ask them and say, can I actually do that? Would that be all right? But for the most part, they're really good about stopping and saying, "Here, you do this," or like, "This is your job," or "Listen to the heart before we sedate this horse. Tell me if it's okay or not, or do this for me so that I can get this ready." And then they come back and say, "What did you think about it? All right, I trust you. I'm going to keep going," or yeah, or things like that.
Yeah, and just lost my thought. Oh yeah, no, so because right now we are in core rotations, so every single student, regardless of what area of veterinary medicine they want to go into, has to do it. I know that they don't give us near as many opportunities to try things at this point as they do if, say, you're on like the equine selected rotation, because then they know this person really has an interest in doing veterinary like equine veterinary medicine when they graduate. We want to give them as many opportunities as we can. So in core, maybe you don't get as much hands-on, but in selected, you definitely do.
Yeah, and that's the same throughout everything. That was the same in the small animal hospital. That's the same as equine and large animal. They're going to say, "Well, this is core." Because even just, I remember in the small animal hospital with exams and stuff, they said, "We've decided in core that we're going to come in with you and we're going to do this. And then on selecteds, you get to do this bit on your own and you can just come and like report your exam findings to us, or you get to do this on your own, and then we'll move on from there. And I think it's just because, one, they know that you've made it all the way through core, so you've done a bunch of it now. Whereas when you come to them, they don't exactly know where you are in your core rotations and how much experience you've had. And then I think the other bit is just that they see that that's your interest. Like, you've chosen to come back to that specific area for more weeks on a selected rotation. And so they know that you have an interest and that you're planning to either leave uni and go practice equine medicine or practice, you know, cardiology or practice whatever it is, and that you're really interested. And so they let you do a bit more. Or if they know that you're going to be in an equine only practice, they're going to say, right, you have to do this because you're going to have to do it on day one. So you get to practice here.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's just a really good learning environment. I'm really, really happy with our course and our program. I'm really sad we only have 4 weeks of equine, but again, because I want to do more equine stuff, I'll just go back for our selecteds.
Yeah. We get 3 selecteds, which is really nice. And we get to find out here soon which ones
So we put our name in for certain selecteds, and they go through depending on the list and what's available to see what we get. But that's what's coming up in the next couple weeks, which I feel like that was a pretty good chat about equine cottage.
Yeah. If you have any more questions that we didn't answer, just send them through and we'll pop them into the next one or something. Or which, even just about equine in general. Yeah.
Always willing to answer. Yeah. But that kind of brings us to the next point, which is there's probably only going to be one more episode of Scrubbed In after this one, and then we're going to take a bit of a break. We're on because, a break.
You know, we just have things to do.
Yeah. So I myself will be doing a modified offline October, considering we're already in October and I'm still online. But in the month leading up to my Navly, I will be no longer on social media for that month, just so I can focus and, be ready for my Navly. So we'll see you guys in, like, after that. But just know that there's going to be radio silence for a good solid while.
We'll come back, you know, start brand new at, like, the beginning of the year. I mean, we'll be in touch, but just don't expect a lot from us until, January.
Don't expect too much, because we have our Navly, and then we take our finals. And after that, we can
do whatever we want.
We can be humans again.
Because we'll have so much free time, you know?
Yeah, right. But, yeah, I figured I would just put that one out there. But, yeah, so this week, and then maybe one more next week, and then radio silence. So be thinking about us. We'll be crying over our notes for a while.
Wish us luck and prayers and all anything
of it.
Else.
All of it.
I'm just thinking of anything else that you believe in that can help us do it for us, please.
Yeah, please. We're gonna need it. No, but as usual, guys, love hearing from you, love hearing your thoughts, and you can always send us messages. You may not hear anything for that month, but, you know, we will eventually respond. But, yeah, I don't have anything else to add.
Did you? No, that's good. Send us things our way, and we'll try to get it all in next one.
Yeah. Cool. Till next time, guys.
Bye.
See ya.